What do you crave? Like, when you think about your passions, your desires, what is it that you crave most among all other things? I'd love for you to put it in the comment section below, because today we're going to talk about how we can just take what we have and our passions and our desires, and how they can sometimes get in the way of what God wants to do, and how we can give that over to God and see what He does. That's what we're going to talk about today in this devotional. I'm Tom Pounder. I'm the online campus pastor here. And we've been reading through the Gospels in 90 days. I'm taking through a new group of people through the Gospels in 90 days. Every day we're taking one chapter, reading it, and there's a short video devotion that follows. And I'm just continue to be so amazed about what God opens my eyes to. I've read through the Gospels numerous times, but now God's opening my eyes to something different, something new. And I'm so excited about what God is doing there and how He's revealing new things to me. And one of the things that He revealed to me was found in Matthew chapter 2. At Matthew chapter 2, this is where we see the birth of Jesus. But there's other things going around that are happening outside of that birth of Jesus. It involves Herod and the wise men. So we're going to pick up some scripture today, and I'm going to share with you about what happens, share with you a little of the story and how it applies to us today. It says this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, that's an important name to remember, wise men from the east arrived to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at the rising and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. Verse 5, "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what it was written in by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there was a rising star they had seen at the rising. It led them until he came and stopped above the place where the child was, and they worshiped him. So here we have Herod hearing about the Messiah being born because of the wise men coming, the one to worship him. The wise men wanted to worship him, but Herod was deeply disturbed. And Herod did not want that. Why? Because if a new king was coming, then him being the king would no longer be relevant. He would not be the king anymore. So he was really disturbed. He didn't want to lose power. He was so consumed by power. He craved power. Remember that first question I asked you at the very beginning? He craved power. That's what he wanted. So every move that he makes from here on out is because he's kind of quenching onto that power and wanting that power still. So what happened? Well, the wise men and Joseph were both warned by angels in a dream that Herod had malicious intent. And so the wise men went a different way. They did not go back to Herod to tell him about Jesus. And then Joseph, Jesus's father, and Mary took Jesus to Egypt and stayed there until King Herod passed away. But let's go back to Herod here, because we pick up the story here in verse 16. It says this, "Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew in a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the boys and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men." So again, because he was so consumed by power and craved power and didn't want to lose his power and give it over to Jesus, he said, well, the only thing left to do is to kill all the boys 2 years and younger. How crazy is that? How sick is that? But that's what Herod did because he was consumed with power. So how does this apply to us? Well, I think it applies to us in a few ways. One is that we can be consumed by things like power. We can be consumed by power so much that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get to that top level, whether it's in a job performance and you're going to do everything you can. It doesn't matter who you hurt or what you do. You got to get to that top power. You got to have it. Same thing can happen in your community. Maybe you want to be the best community member. So you do whatever it takes to be at that top level and well-respected. It doesn't matter who you hurt or what you do. You got to get to the top. And the reality is that when we do that kind of stuff, what happens? There's a lot of collateral damage. There's a lot of people who are hurt by that. And ultimately, we are hurt when we take matters into our own hands and say, rather than giving over to God, we take it into our own hands and says, I have to do this so that I can have this. I have to do this. And we can kind of just keep it to ourselves. But what we need to do is we need to have that passion. Hey, listen, maybe you want to be the best. And that's okay. It's okay to want to be the best, but not at the expense of doing all this other crazy stuff. And the reality is that we got to just give it over to God, because God will guide our paths. God will lead us. And I want to read from you some scripture to kind of encourage us that we don't need to take control. Rather, we need to give it away. We need to give it away to God and let him control the things. After all, he's the one who created us. He's the one with the plan and the purpose for our lives. We have to latch on to him rather than taking the control all to ourselves like Herod did. So here's a few verses that will encourage us today. One of them is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Hey, we know, Paul knows, that God is working together for the good, okay? And for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you love God and you're striving towards God's purpose in your life, not your purpose in your life, God's gonna work for good. God's gonna get you to where you need to be. Maybe it's here, but maybe it's not. But the reality is that when we line ourselves up and trust God and give it away to God, God is gonna be leading us. God is gonna be guiding us. So trust him, give it over to God, and he's working for your good. Remember, he's working in the upper story here. We're living in the lower story. Let's trust his upper story movement and just follow him and see where he leads us. That's what Romans 8:28 says. Joshua 1:9 says this. This is one of my favorite verses. I love this. It says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hey, listen, when we're trying to control our lives rather than giving it over to God, there's lots of fear that goes on. Again, Herod was driven by fear. He didn't want to lose power, so he did all these other crazy things. The reality is, don't let fear take over. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is with you and wherever you go. If you trust God, you follow him, you seek him, you live for him every day, he's going to lead your path. He is with you. He was with the Israelites when they trusted and followed him. He will be with you when you trust and follow him. So rather than taking control, give it over to God. Trust him to lead your steps. And the last thing is Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. These are really encouraging scriptures to really enable us to really give over control. We don't need to worry. We don't need to stress. Why? Because God's in control and God's going to provide for us and God's going to lead us to where we need to be. So today, don't be like Herod, clenching onto that power, clenching onto that, the thing that you crave. Rather, give it over to God and let him lead you. Listen, when we try to clench onto this, what we think we need and what we think we need to do, it causes us more stress. It causes us more anxiety, more worry. Let's give it over to God. Cast all that anxiety onto you. Cast all that worry on to God and let him lead you. That's my encouragement. That's my challenge for us today. Let's not be like Herod. Let's be like following God and giving it over to him and see where he leads you today. If you got thoughts, if you got comments, if you got questions, I would love to talk to you a little bit more about it. You can put it in the comment section below, or you can email me at tomp@newlife.church. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being with us all along the way. And I just pray that you would just help us trust you. Give us the ability to just release control and give you the control. And let's just follow your lead. You're working in the upper story. You're working in heaven. You're working for our good. Help us trust and rely on you today, and that you would lead us to where we need to be. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for being with us today. I pray that you have a blessed rest of your day.